So we've got to Revelation chapter 3 now, verses 1 to 6. And as I say, we're looking at the church in Sardis. Now, if the church in Sardis was around today, they would have been Instagram influencers. Everybody would have known about them. They would have been the Bethel of their area. Everyone would have been following them on Instagram. The leadership would have done a TikTok dance that would have gone viral, and everybody would have just known who. Don't get any ideas, Steve. So everybody knew about the church there. So impressed by the work that they were doing, and they were lived in an area where they were high up on a hillside, so almost they were looking down physically on those around them. They were secure, and they had plenty of wealth. Now, have you heard the term as rich as Croesus? Well, he was from Sardis, and the reason he was rich was when he was king, there was gold running in the base of the stream that ran through Sardis. So that they were the first ones to mint coins. And so wealth and power and security were their thing. And they loved to share that with those around them. And the church seemed to be doing really well. As I say, everybody knew about them and what they were doing and their influence on the local community. And then Jesus comes, as he's spoken to all the churches before, and he begins to speak to them in this passage in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And he says this, "The message to the church in Sardis. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do." As we read in the beginning of chapter 2 of Revelation, Jesus says that I've been walking amongst the lampstands, or walking amongst the churches. So Jesus had been in their midst and walking amongst the people of the church of Sardis. And he's saying, "I know the things that you do. I've been amongst you, whether you've realized it or not. My presence has been there. I've walked amongst you. So I know exactly how things are. I've walked amongst you, not just on the days when you get together as an assembly of people, but I've walked along the streets with you. And I know how life is for you." And then he says this, "I know all the things that you do, that you have a reputation." This is good. They knew they had a reputation. They were famous all around. "But you have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead." How sad. And he says, "I know that because I've been amongst you." And our natural instinct when God speaks to us, isn't it, to say, "No, God, you don't understand. You're not in my life. You don't understand what's going on." And Jesus says, "I've been walking amongst you. And this breaks my heart. I don't do this lightly, but you, church, are not the people that everybody thinks you are. And my Father heart is reaching out to you." So often we read these through, don't we? And we think, is this Jesus just standing there wagging his finger at the churches and saying, "Church, you should be different"? But I really feel as he talks to this church in Sardis, yes, he has some quite strong words to say to them, but it's from a heart of somebody who's been amongst them, heard their reputation, and he wants better for them, just like a loving parent would for their children. It's almost echoes of Eden, really, here, I feel. It's almost when God was walking in the garden with Adam, and they've been separated from each other by sin, and God walks and says, "Adam, where are you?" And I feel he's saying this to the church in Sardis right at the outset. Where are you? Where are you? I've given you life, but you're not using it. You're going through the motions. And it's almost like being a sleepwalker. sleepwalking through life, going through the motions. And now, sleepwalking, something that Jeremy used to do, he won't love me for this, doesn't know about this, used to do quite a lot when we were first married. And I know it's probably the stress of learning to live with me, but he used to have a thing where he'd start off with, he would just start talking and his sleep was okay. And then on other times when he was particularly stressed, he'd sit up in bed, sit on the side of the bed and carry on talking. And it didn't really make much sense to me, but I got the gist it was something to do with work, because it was sort of vaguely work-related. Excuse me a minute. And he would, and particularly going through a stressful time at work. Then one day, it sort of freaked me out rather slightly, because I woke up to see the bedroom window open, and he was hanging out the window, waving his arms, telling his work colleagues exactly how they should be doing their job. The thing was that obviously no one was responding, so I just sort of, like, as you do with sleepwalkers, sort of gradually thinking, what the heck am I going to do? He's going to fall out in a minute. And so I didn't want to, like, shock him. You're not supposed to shock them people awake, are you? So I just gradually sort of eased him back into bed and sort of sat him and lay him down. So, it's all right, dear. It's okay. It's okay. But unfortunately, you see, no matter how he expressed himself, no matter how much he gesticulated out the window, nothing was going to make any difference to how his people were going to be working. First of all, they weren't there, and he was sleepwalking. So he was expressing something that was going on inside, but he was going through the motions. It was scary, but he was going through the motions. And so often we can be like that. We can be so earnest, can't we? We can fling wide the windows, as it were, of our churches, and we can gesticulate to the community around us, and we can tell them exactly how to do things and all about us, but actually no one's listening. And this is how it was with the church in Sardis. They were going through the motions, but no one was listening. And so Jesus says this to them. He says this in verse 2. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions don't meet the requirements of my God. And he's just reinforcing that again. He says, you're going through the motions, church. And what you need to do is to wake up. And as we know, the Apostle John was likely John who was writing this down as Jesus was talking to him and telling him what to write to the churches. And I was looking at this and this words for wake up. And as Steve predicted, I was looking at the Greek. And something struck me as I looked at this. I imagine John writing these words down, and probably as he wrote them, he probably wasn't that conscious of what he was writing, because he was in the Spirit and God was just like pouring this stuff into his heart and into his mind to write to the churches and onwards to write about the future and what was going to happen. But I'm sure before he sent them off to the churches and he forwarded them on as Jesus had requested, he would have read them through. And he would perhaps have reflected on what is saying and thinking, oh, wow, you know, I hadn't really thought that God had said that. But I really believe that something would have resonated with this man as he heard these words, because he'd heard Jesus say that to him before. And isn't it funny that when God can be speaking to the church as a whole, so often he speaks to us as individuals. Without us, and when we're not least expecting it, we're getting a word for God, from God for the people, and we're pouring it out, and then God says, "Hang on a minute, while we're at it, how about you?" And as I looked back, and I looked at that word, "Wake up," and John, and the last time he heard Jesus say that to him, he was in the garden. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was one of Jesus' closest friends, and we often forget that he was around, because Peter gets all the press, doesn't he? But John was there with his brother James, Jesus' closest friends, the ones that Jesus had chosen to be there with him in his hour of distress. And three times on that night, when Jesus poured out his heart to God, he was suffering one of the most terrible nights of his life, the pain and the anguish of knowing he was going to the cross. And three times that night, he said to John, "Wake up. You're asleep. Could you not stay awake?" And I'm sure John, as he read that to the church in Sardis, how can you forget Jesus saying that to you? "Wake up, John. Could you not watch and pray with me?" Three times. And also there was another occasion. And he would have I'm sure he would have remembered that as well. And it's the same trio, Peter, James, and John again. And this happened a bit earlier, and God wasn't just revealing his humanity and his pain and his anguish on this occasion, he was revealing his glory. And there they were on the mountain, and Jesus again had chosen the three of his closest friends, Peter, James, and John, to go with him. And he wanted to reveal something of himself to them that was special and profound. And once again, he was asleep. Or very close to it. And they were so tired and they were sleepy, it says that they didn't really know what was going on. It's recorded particularly in Luke chapter 9, verse 32. There was Jesus talking away to Moses and Elijah, as you do, and he was just glowing in all his glory, and his face was transformed, and these guys were asleep, and John was included amongst them. And once again, he was asleep. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 32, it says this. But when they had become fully awake, that same word again, when they've woken up, they saw his glory. And so John has this revelation then of the glory of Jesus and who he really was. And so he's reflecting on those words. I really believe it. God would have spoken again, because you can't go through those life-transforming moments, can you, with Jesus and not remember them. So he'd almost missed Jesus' glory by being asleep. He'd woken up just in time. And then there was, as I say, in Gethsemane, he'd been asleep, and three times Jesus had to come to him and say to him and his brother and to Peter, "Wake up. I'm revealing to you my pain. I'm revealing to you something of my character. Yes, you see my glory, but now you're seeing my humanity. You're seeing I'm a God of suffering." And once again, he'd spoken those words that would pierce his very heart. And he's been writing them down for the church in Sardis. And they would have gone deep. But our God is a God of grace. And I'm glad we've sang, thanks Paul, for the songs for this morning. I really feel that God is saying, "I'm a God of grace." Isn't it beautiful that no matter where John had been on his journey, we just see him carry on through his journey through Acts. We hear some of his story. And by now he was on Patmos and he was an old man. But God in his grace says, you may have half missed the revelation of my glory, John. But now I'm going to give you an even greater revelation. I'm a God who restores. And so God in his grace says, "Yeah, John, you've been through some stuff with me and you've got onto Patmos just through living your life for me. And I know you've made some mistakes. But I'm a God of grace. And I brought you to this place now, John, and I've called you to have an even greater revelation of me so that you can write it down. And you can tell those, not just now, but those to come, who I really am and what I'm going to be doing in the future." What a gracious God. He nearly misses one revelation. He lets God down, and God, those words just piercing his heart, and God says, "It's okay, John. I'm a God of grace. And I've and I'm sort of reliving that in even greater measure. I'm going to give you such a revelation of me. Such a revelation of me. Carry on in this to verse 3. And so, as John, I'm sure, reflects on this and writes this down for the church in Sardis, he's doing his own crying out to God and reliving, but grateful for the grace that God has put on his life, that he's given this opportunity. And he must be willing on the church in Sardis with Jesus saying, come on, Sardis, there's so much more. I've made my own mistakes. I've done it wrong. And I know from experience that God can move you past it. So wake up, church. And verse 3, it says this, go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent. And turn to me again. All of those words in that sentence are dynamic words. We're talking here about a church that Jesus said was just going through the motions. They were sort of emptiness in their experience with God. There was lifelessness. There was nothing there. But all, and it's really quite important here that Jesus is using dynamic words, that words that are talking about an ongoing experience here. He's saying, go back to what you heard and believed at first, that all things that he wants them to do are doing words, as you say, used to say to the children. They're doing words. They're describing about what he wants them to do. Hold on to it firmly. And this hold on word here is not just holding on as being gripping on, but that sense of like, hold on and keep holding on and keep holding on and keep holding on. The dynamic words, the opposite of the lifelessness of where they've been and what they've been as they've been existing in their experience of God. And he asked them also to repent. And we say so often, aren't they, that's a turning around in our relationship with God. But I looked again at this word, and as I say, I promised you, as Steve promised you, some good Greek words this morning. I had another look at this, because repenting is all about relationship. And the word metanoia is basically a turning around. But if you split these words down, this word down into two separate parts, it's even more important about what we're trying to say this morning. Because meta, the first part of this, is to be changed after being with somebody. And that is essentially what Jesus is saying to the church in Sardis and maybe to us this morning. He says, I want you to be with me. I'm not asking to repent by wagging my finger from heaven and saying, you wicked, wicked people, repent, repent, repent. He says, I want you to be with me. And because of that, I want you to repent. It's all about relationship. And so this word for repent here is made up of meta, which is to be changed after being with. And noio, which to think differently after. When you've been with me, Jesus says, your life will change. You will think differently because you and I will have a relationship and I'll be able to impart to you my heart and my thoughts and my mind. And repentance is about saying, yes, Jesus, I realize that the things I'm thinking, the things I'm doing aren't after your heart. I want to be with you, to learn from you. To turn my mind around and turn my life around. And this is what Jesus was saying to the church at Sardis. And I think so often, as I say, I've read this passage before and felt there was a sort of a wagging finger from Jesus. But we hear God's heart behind these words. Wake up. Repent. We hear that he was walking, as I say, amongst the churches. He says, I know the things that you do. I've been walking amongst you. And he says, I want to walk with you again. In verse 4, he says this. Sorry, let's finish verse 3. Sorry. If you don't wake up, I'll come to you suddenly as an unexpected thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white, and I will never erase their names from the book of life. But I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he says to the churches. He said, there's some of you. There's some of you who've got it. There's some of you who are walking with me and you've got it. But I long for all of you to be in that experience. And I really feel that that is the thread going through this. He says, I've been walking with you and you didn't know it, church. But actually, my heart is for you to turn around, to have that relationship with me, to change after being with me so that you can walk with me. And that will make all the difference. Because I will restore the life that you're lacking. And so, just as there are some in there having this experience of me, my heart, Jesus is saying, is for you all to be able to walk with me. So that you'll recognize that I am amongst you, church. That I'm amongst you, and I want those around you. I want to be able to celebrate your life. And I want those around. So Jesus is giving a picture here of them walking through the city in a parade as they used to. So the governor would walk those that he wanted to celebrate through the city at that time, robed in white. This was something that they were used to seeing. And Jesus picks up on that picture, and he talks, often we're talking about clothed in white, being made whole and renewed and restored. But he's saying to the church, yes, I want the church, I want the people around to be able to see you, that you are victorious. I want them to be able to see that you're walking with me. But I want to show you off, church, in a genuine and powerful way, not as being, say, like the Instagram type showing off, but I want you to be one, people that walk with me and people to know that. And I want that to be the experience of you all. And he's saying, really, you know what? I want you to move from waking to walking. So often we stop at the waking point and we get stuck, don't we? We hear God calling out to us in our life and our experience, and we're feeling that sense of God, yes, you're speaking into my life. And we do business with God, and we think, yeah, we're going to be different. But Jesus said, and just like John, you know, it happened to him so many times. But Jesus said, I want you to wake up, but I also want you to walk. There's something more. I want you to move from waking to walking so that everyone can see you. That I can show you off to those around, not for just sort of so that everybody knows about you, but so that they can see that I'm walking with you, and there's a difference there. I want you to be changed. I want you to repent because you've been with me. So this is all about relationship. This is all about my heart for you. And so, church in Sardis, this is where I want you to be. So whether this morning you're feeling like God is speaking to you generally, or whether you've had an experience like John, and I really felt this was for somebody particular this morning. God, you feel like you've let God down in the past. God spoke into your life, and he's just like John. You felt like God, you just let God down in the really key and important part of your life. And it haunts you. And you hear the words sometimes, or you see things in scripture, and those words just pierce your heart, just like they would have done John's as he was writing that down for the church in Sardis. And Jesus says to you, which I'm sure he would have ministered into John just at that moment, he says, I'm a God of grace. And I want to move you into a greater revelation, even more than the one you missed because of the way you let me down. So often we think that, don't we? Think, God, that was my moment. God, that was my moment. I've let you down and I've missed that revelation of you. And I've missed what I could have been and should have been. And he was an old man now. And he may have thought, no, I can't move away from that point. And Jesus said to him, I'm sure, in his quiet moments with him, as he says to us individually this morning, it's okay. Repent. Be with me. And then as a God of grace, I'm going to give you such a revelation that you'll be able to share with those around you. I can move you from, yeah, you saw me in my glory, but whoa, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to write something in your life. And I want you to move from waking to walking. Let's be a dynamic church. Let's be dynamic. So I know it's just like God just poured this into my life and he's spoken to me this morning, over the weeks and this morning. And I just would you mind just standing with me as we just conclude this morning? And just if you'd like to, just if you want to put your hands out to God and just say, Jesus, just as I am here, you know, God, just speak. Yeah, so for those who've just felt they let God down in the past and they can't move past that and they've missed out and God's not going to ever speak through them or again, and God says, yeah, I've got such a revelation for you. Let's do some business here. And they may, and for us to church, for us who've, like myself, I know at times over these last few